Good morning. This is The People Speak. I'm Jeff. Talking today with State Representative Nathan Reitz. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good, Jeff. How are you?
Not too bad. Can't complain. So how are things going with the district?
It's been pretty much COVID. Everything that we've done as far as a office standpoint here recently is still pertaining to COVID. And unfortunately, it seems like it's going to continue in that direction for a while.
I know that there's people on both sides of the issue here and stuff, but it's kind of one of those things where, I mean, we're in uncharted territory.
We are. There's things that we're all learning as time goes on, and whether we agree or disagree with some of the decisions that are made, unfortunately, we have to live by them sometimes. So
exactly. I'll tell you what, let's take a quick break here and we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit with State Representative Nathan Reitz here this morning. You're listening to The People Speak on Real Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. And welcome back. This is People Speak again, talking today with State Representative Nathan Reitz. And as we mentioned, COVID is the main topic, I guess, right now, and the new mitigation here in this region, I guess. You know, we talk about Randolph County, but we're included within a region that includes St. Clair and Madison and Monroe. And
yeah, the new mitigation measures, which we were told about 2 weeks ago that would possibly be going into effect. Unfortunately, the week before last, they came out and said they were going to start them earlier, which upset most of us. So we pushed back, and thankfully they pushed us back another week. But unfortunately, this week we started the new modified mitigation measures that the governor's office and IDPH had set forth, that Region 7, I believe, started last week. You know, these regulations are just another burden on the businesses, especially our small restaurants, our businesses around here that have been hit hard already. And, you know, have felt the economic toll, and with not allowing inside dining, will continue to feel the economic toll, and hopefully can make it through this stretch of mitigation, where however many weeks it may be. But they had initially told us that we have to get back down to a 6% positivity rate, which is frustrating.
Yeah, just looking at here from yesterday's report from the Randolph County Health Department, this county's rate is 8.6%. I'm not sure what the region rate is.
But yeah, I don't remember. I think St. Clair County yesterday, their positivity rate was below the 8%. But it's frustrating that, as we talked about off air, that, you know, the prisoners and the patient, the prisoners at Menard, mm-hmm. a prisoner at Pinckneyville, a patient at Mental Health, and really even for these mitigation measures, anybody in a long-term health care facility, you know, they're not going to go out and visit these establishments that were already, you know, shut down to a point to where they're not turning a profit.
Mm-hmm.
And now these people are included in the numbers that are pushing mitigation efforts even stronger, you know, on these businesses that have already been hurt. So it's,
right.
I know myself, I called up and voiced my displeasure with the governor on Monday or Tuesday before these came out, and asked him to remove, you know, these people from the count, because it's just not, they're not going out. And whether we want to believe these businesses are causing a spike in positivity rate, which I honestly don't, these people that are especially the prisoners, I mean, for, like you said, we have 70 some that are on our count right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going out into the local establishments and going out to dine or going to a bar or whatever. I mean, they're not,
if you figure that within the total, for, like I said, again, I'm just looking at this from the county numbers, 129 cases. You take out the inmate population of that, and that would drop the positivity
rate. Then we're probably
rate.
Down to five or,
right.
or less.
Exactly.
Even less, yeah. So, I mean, it's frustrating that, you know, all these businesses, they're, you know, many of them been, you know, they've made long-term investments that they're going to struggle to get back. And and one thing I expressed is that we need to find a way to provide grants. If we're going to shut them down again, we don't need to loan them money. We need to provide some grants to help them stay afloat if this is the approach that we
as far as the government has to take. As far as a loan goes, I mean, that means it has to be repaid, and they're not bringing in the revenue to be able to do that and still keep their business afloat.
Yeah, I mean, most businesses are still making payments on, you know, on their either rent payment, making payments on their bill, on their property, you know, and all these other payments. And then, if you throw a loan on top of that, and then, you know, the problem is, you know, even if we said that they could be 100% open, you're still going to have some people that shy away from going out just because of, you know, health effects that, you know, that they worry about, or, you know, people that have health conditions that don't want to go out right now. So they're still not going to be probably 100% full, even if the state and IDPH would say right now that they could open at 100%, you know, it's a challenging time anyway, and these mitigation measures just make it much more frustrating and much more challenging for everyone.
And it affects, you know, as far as, you know, radio, because a lot of our revenue, especially this time of year, we would be airing football games on the radio, and without that, and I mean, Cardinal baseball is kind of at such an abbreviated season that it's hard to really sell that as a package, you know, for an advertiser. So it kind of affects even, you know, your broadcast, your radio, your TV.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this is not only had an effect on, you know, the businesses that we think about, but yeah, I hadn't thought much about the radio aspect, or even, you know, the television aspect either. I mean, it's there's not a lot of people looking to advertise when people aren't going out.
Right.
So yeah, we have to find a way to help these restaurants and bars that are, so that we put tighter mitigation measures on and find a way to help fund them.
Right.
We have businesses, all the businesses that I've been to. I mean, we went, Senator Schimpf and I were at JV's in Waterloo the other day and kind of went through, and Jeff explained what he's been doing to keep everyone safe. And you know, he had maybe five or six tables in his whole place, and they were spread out, you know, at least the 6 feet apart, probably further than that. And they were doing a good job, and I know everyone who owns a restaurant or bar around here is trying to do the right thing, but when you're put with standards that are so tight and hard to follow to try to turn a profit, it's frustrating for everyone.
And they don't know, as far as, you know,
then they change.
Right.
That's
their food stock. I mean, how much do we need to buy? Because I mean, there is a perishable date on those items, and they can only keep them for so long.
Yeah, and that was part of our main argument to at least keep us open that extra week. Is, you know, we told all these businesses that before we went to tighter mitigation measures that they had 2 weeks. You know, and coming into a weekend where you would plan to sell quite a bit of food and beverage and have people out and about, unfortunately, you know, now we're limited to outside dining. So
right, and this is the holiday weekend coming up, which would tend to be, you know,
a busy weekend around. So it's frustrating for myself. Even, I mean, I'm not a business owner, but it's frustrating for everyone. Just we have to get our local economy going again. It's suffered long enough.
Exactly. I'll tell you what, let's throw another break in here, and we will come back and talk some more with Representative Wright's here on The People Speak. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back. This is People Speak. Again, we're talking with State Representative Nathan Wright. And well, we've been talking COVID, but there's some other stuff going on too, and it's not all bad news.
No, one of the things that came out, I believe it was last week or the week before, the Secretary of State's office put out that there's a one-year extension on driver's license that expire in 2020 for seniors 75 and older, to allow them not to have to visit the facility until before their birthday in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, something to assure that seniors don't have to get out and, you know, take a risk by going to the driver's license facility, which I did not pay attention this morning, but usually when you drive by them, the lines are long and they're outside in the heat.
Yeah, I see people are bringing their own chairs, you know, the little folding chairs they can sit on out there because.
Yeah, I took my son in July for his white slip or whatever they call them now, for his 15th birthday, and we waited out there about an hour. We got there early too. We got there before 8 o'clock, and took us till around 9 to get out of there.
Today it wouldn't be bad, but boy, those days when it was like 95 and the humidity at 90%, was not real comfortable.
Yeah, so that was one of the things that came out recently. People are still having unemployment issues. I think Patsy probably sends a few names a day over, so if anybody has any issues with unemployment services, please call the office or email us, reach out, and we'll do what we can to help you. One of the things that I think it was yesterday or the day before popped out that IDES is applying for the extra $300 a week in lost wage assistance that FEMA just announced, because the $600 a week went away, I believe it was maybe the end of July.
I think that's when.
So now they did apply for a $300 bump up through FEMA, which I haven't seen that they've received that yet.
Part of the issue is the fact that the unemployment rate due to a large part of in for COVID, you know, is at such a point that, it's going to cause issues within the system.
Yeah, we talked about it earlier and hit on the extra mitigation measures. I mean, if you're doing curbside or just minimal outside dining, that may lead to, unfortunately, more unemployment in the, not only this region, but the other regions that are already under these mitigation measures. Right.
So it's just, as I mentioned earlier, it's uncharted territory. I mean, the agencies are not, you know, we're not set up to handle this large of amount. You know, I mean, you always plan for it, but you never expect it.
Yeah, and most state agencies are not back to, you know, 100% in person, in office.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I believe that that we received something like CMS was going to start testing in person soon at their facilities, but I mean, it'll be a reservation, I believe.
Even for people who are struggling too, as far as like applying for food stamps, applying for energy assistance and things like that, these offices are closed. Basically, everything is either done online or over the phone, and sometimes it's difficult to get a hold of someone at these offices.
And if you have issues getting a hold of anybody, you know, Please reach out, and I haven't given the number in a while. Call our office. It's 618-282-7284, or email is repnreitz@gmail.com. Reach out, and we'll do what we can to lead you in the right direction.
I'll have to give credit, you know, Patsy there at the office in Redbud and stuff, well, go out of her way to help people. I mean, and she's very pleasant to talk to. And
she does. That's the best part of this job, is the constituent service aspect of mm-hmm. it. And thankfully, Patsy does a very good job for us.
I've worked with her, you know, being in the radio and stuff for several years, you know, from you and then Representative Costello before and that. So, yeah, she's always got a pleasant tone to her voice.
Yep, absolutely. She does a very good job, and I'm thankful to have her.
So,
I did see something, if we got a minute yet or so.
Sure.
There was some federal funding released for opioid crisis, which, you know, all we've talked about is COVID for the last several months, but unfortunately, this epidemic does not seem to be getting better anytime soon, and we have to do what we can to fight to end it. So there was $36 million released to go to work in the Department of Human Services to work on curbing the epidemic that we have currently with opioids.
Okay. All right. Well, it does look like we are out of time now, but I appreciate you coming in this morning and talking with us. And
it's always good to see you, and I appreciate it, and we'll see you next month.
All right. For the People Speak, I'm Jeff. We will talk to you again on Tuesday. Have a great weekend.